excuse my handwriting. It's not working for me, but so I tend to be one of those people that have vision, all right? So I don't always see everything. I just see the vision, okay? And then I don't always see the pitfalls. I don't see the stuff that could go wrong. And then you have the refiners who come along and they say, "Well, what about this? What about this? Well, shouldn't we look at this? And this might not quite be a good idea. Maybe we should tweak this a little bit." So the refiners are an important piece of it. And then you have people who come along and they reduce your vision, called reducers. So they look at the vision and they're like, "Well, that seems a little bit more than what we can handle. That seems a little, you know, don't you think that's a little bit ambitious?" Or and they take away from the vision. And then you have people who come along and they reject the vision. My handwriting is atrocious. It's usually not. So I apologize. I should get Evelyn up here to write it for me. But so then you have people who come along and reject it. Who are you? And it's not that the vision is always 100% correct. Maybe it needs some tweaking. Maybe it needs some refining. But are you one of those people who come along and reduce and you say, "Well," or are you one of those people who come along and say, "Yeah, he's way off his rocker. I don't know where he's getting that." Where are you? What role do you want to play? Maybe you have vision and you have stuff you want to put out there, and you haven't had a platform to really share that. All right. Along with that, I better pull my notes out here. All right, I'm just going to put that on hold for a little bit. Slow down. So this week, I had the opportunity to sit down and hear a man's testimony. He was raised in a Christian home. He went off to college, and it was somebody local here. Went to California to college. Was working with his uncle there in a business, and met a girl, and they fell in love. Ended up getting married, and she turned out to be unfaithful to him, and it ended up in a divorce. Now this man was raised in a Christian home. And he was now in a position where he never thought he would be. And it just completely rocked his world. And he rejected God completely and just went off the deep end. And all that while, his family was praying for him. And eventually, he came back to God. And he is now back in this area and is an influential leader in one of the churches here in the area. And I just want to say that God is not looking for perfection. God is looking, and this is so true in David's life too. The study in David's life, it's so true. God's not looking for perfection. He's looking for people who have a heart after him. It doesn't matter where you are or where you've been. God still has something in mind for you. And maybe you take a detour around that. God has a plan. This detour may not be God's plan. That might be where you're at right now. But come around to that. And God still has a plan for you. God's grace and mercy is amazing. And we take it for granted. Also had a conversation with a family member this week, and it's just a relationship in their life that's very difficult, and it's been very difficult for many years. But one of the things that I know that I can speak into that situation is that there's hope. It's because of the God we serve, it's because of God's grace and mercy that I know there's hope. And that the rest of our, doesn't matter where we're at, we can start changing our course now. And the rest of our days can be the best of our days. But just to be able to speak hope and just to be able to speak life into that situation and knowing that God is still good and God's still on the throne. Had another conversation. I don't know, it must have been a week of conversations. I don't know. With a man who is just broken down. Life has just beat him to a pulp, and he's just desperate and just ready for a new lease on life. And here's what I know about that. I know that we serve a God of grace and mercy. And I know that God wants to take that man's life, he wants to totally transform it and use it for his glory. Maybe it was a detour that he took off. God still has a plan. God still has a plan. And if we are willing to repent, to turn around, to come and get alignment in alignment with him, God will still use us. He will still use us. It's not too late. It's never too late. I just love that about God. It's amazing. That he can take something that is just trash and he can make something beautiful out of it. I was listening to listening to the Bible this week, and there was a verse the verse that came across, and I was like, wait, what? And I sat up and I was like, wait, rewind that. And I listened to it again. I was like, what? And I got to see this. And so the passage was in Jeremiah 48 verse 10. And the American Standard Version. I don't know, one of those. Anyway, here's what it said. First part of the verse. Cursed is he who does the work of the Lord with slackness. I read that over and over again. I was like, this is where we tend to, this seems to be the tendency of the people of God. They seem to have a lack mentality. And we serve the King of Kings. And here it says, when we do this with slackness, when we do the work of the Lord, and we don't do it, we don't give it our best, we don't give it everything we got, we're cursed. And so I know we've had conversations here. We've had conversations on the school board, we've had conversations in the leadership team, that we want to change that. We want to give it best. We want to make God look good. This is not about us. People, it's not about us. It's about bringing God the honor and the glory that is due him. And if we think it's all about us and our eyes turn inward, here's the other thing. Some of us go through things in life and we allow that to pull us down to the point where we detract from the glory of God. God allows things in our life to refine us and to enhance what he wants to do. As difficult, look, we all go through life. There's periods in life when we all come to that point where it's like, it's so tough, it's hard to go on. It is. Life isn't easy. There's no guarantee it's easy. But here's what I know, that if you're walking where God wants you to go, it's obviously something that he wants to use for his glory. He wants to enhance it. Take, for example, so Paul and Silas, thrown in prison. And here they are. They're thrown in prison. It's a time of darkness. Like, they were out preaching for the glory of God. They were out preaching the gospel. They were beaten and they were cast into prison. Not only cast into prison, but their feet were in chains, anchored to concrete. Their hands were in chains, and they were there almost helpless and hopeless. So what did they do in that situation? What did they do? So do you think that God could have prevented that? Do you think he could have prevented them from being locked up and put in that situation of vulnerability? I know he could have. God sometimes allows things to bring honor and glory to him. So what happens? Let's look what happens here. Paul and Silas started. What did they do? Who knows what Paul and Silas did in prison? They started singing praise and worship. And what happened? The prisoners heard it. And they probably joined in. I don't know. And then what happens is the prison, there's an earthquake. The prison doors are flung wide open. And in the Roman rule, if you left the prisoners loose, you lost your life. So here it was. The prison doors are wide open. The prisoners have access to leave the prison. And the prison keeper woke up with a start and realized that everything's wide open and the prisoners could be gone. So what was he going to do? He was going to take his own life. Paul said, whoa, wait a minute here. We're still all here. Can you imagine the response of that prison keeper? He's like, what? What is going on here? And it totally changed a situation that could have been dark and gloomy, and they could have wallowed in that, and it completely turned around to the point where they are now having a baptismal service. All right, let me come back to this. So was anybody here a couple weeks ago whenever I shared? Remember what I shared last time I talked? Does anybody know? Anybody remember? All right. So it was on preparedness, but this is one thing that has become, I don't know, maybe it's just because I'm chewing on it, but when you receive revelation, and where does revelation come from? Where does revelation come from? The Holy Spirit. It comes from God. So God gives revelation. When you receive revelation, it takes a measure of faith to believe that and to walk it out. Now, here's how we know that if you have a measure of faith, if you really believe this, and this could be anything, it could be anything. But if God says, God reveals something, okay, and now you have the faith and you say, I accept that, I agree with that, I'm going to walk in that, and you sit back and do nothing, is that faith? Are you acting on the revelation that you receive from God? The answer is no, you're not. So, in order to act out faith, remember, your faith is the evidence of things not seen. It's the evidence of things not seen. It also says that, in James, that faith without it's dead. And so you need some corresponding action in order to prove that you believe that you actually believe that you actually have faith for that. Now, does that just happen? First of all, does revelation just happen? Does it just happen? You're just going through life and all of a sudden, boom, you get some revelation. Well, it can't happen that way. It can. My guess, though, is you need to cultivate a relationship with God, Holy Spirit. That's the source of revelation. So if you want revelation in your life, cultivate this. Cultivate that relationship. So if you get revelation, and now you say, I have faith, I believe that, and it might be something that's impossible, like it just sounds impossible, but you say, okay, God, I believe it. Are you going to take action now, or are you just going to sit back and say, see what God does here. Now, does this just happen? Does this just happen? No. It has to be intentional. This has to be intentional too. It takes intentionality, okay? You have to have intentionality here. You actually choose faith too. You get the revelation, you choose to agree with that. That takes intentionality too. Life consists of making intentional choices and decisions. If you're going to go through life and you're not going to be intentional about things, you are going to go automatically. You're going to become mediocre, average, and at best. But your life will tend to go down unless you're intentional to grow and to change. If you're not intentional with what you're doing with your life, your life is going to end up somewhere that you did not intend to go. I don't know of any criminal who wakes up in the morning and says, "Today I want to do something, I want to end up in jail." I don't think they do that intentionally, but because they don't choose good decisions intentionally, that's where they end up. Your life, you can go through life just coasting along in your comfort zone, no intentionality at all, and you can go through life that way if you choose to. Your life is going to tend to take a downward curve. If you're not intentional about your words, if you're not intentional about your thoughts, if you're not intentional about your actions, your life is going to have a downward curve. If you start to change that, and you start to change your thoughts, you start to change your actions, you start to change your words, your life is going to start, you as a person are going to start growing and changing. That's where you're going to start getting revelation. If you're not intentional with your life, why should God give you anything more than what you already have? Why should He give you revelation if you're not already acting on what you know you should be doing? It takes intentionality. We can go through life and we can just sleepwalk. We can just make decisions sleepwalk, going through life like we're sleepwalking. God is very intentional, by the way. Stop waving my marker around. God is very intentional. Think about creation. He was very intentional with what He did. He didn't just do stuff for anyhow. He was intentional with what He did. He had a purpose behind what He did. So think about this. Today there's people who want to claim that, "Oh, it just started with a cell, and it ignited with another cell, and there was a big explosion. And millions of years later, here we are, the sophisticated human being. We can think and we can dream, and our bodies are made in a it is amazing. When you start studying our body, studying our mind, what we are capable of, it was not by accident. That sounds unintentional to me, for a big explosion and, you know, all this comes together. My mind, my will, my emotions, all that just comes together out of a big explosion. It doesn't happen, my friends. It doesn't happen that way. It takes intentionality. If you want to accomplish something great, it takes intentionality. If you want to change where you're at in life, it takes intentionality. You have to be intentional about it. God, it wasn't an accident that God said, "You know what? I'm going to redeem the human race, and this is how I'm going to do it." He thought that out very carefully and said, "This is how I'm going to redeem the human race." His heart and his passion, his love for us was so great that He was willing to give His only Son to die on the cross for you and me. It was with intention. There was a reason that He wanted to do that. There was a reason that He was willing to do that. He did it with intentionality. Today, or this month, happens to be the 10th anniversary of Way of Jesus Fellowship, in case for those of you who didn't know. But this month, it is 10 years ago that we started. Now, if you would have told me 10 years ago where we're going to be at as a church, that this is where we're going to be at, I probably wouldn't have believed you. You know, I don't know. It just formed up differently than what I thought. Here's what I do know. That in order for us to not be the same in 5 years from now, we're going to have to be very intentional about it. If we're okay with just being who we are today, and we don't want to put thought into it, we're not pursuing God for revelation, and when God reveals something and we're not willing to act on it, we can do that. But we're not going to change. And so I think it's time for us to be very intentional. I mentioned earlier that we have a window of opportunity, and I think now is the time for Way of Jesus Fellowship to be very, very intentional about our next steps and where we go from here. I think 5 years from now will be very telling on what we do in the next year. In the next 6 to 12 months will be very telling what we do. Are we going to be okay with who we are? Are we going to be okay just to sit back? I'm going to read this passage here. Philippians 3. Philippians 3. I'm going to read the whole chapter just to give perspective. But finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. For me to write the same things to you is not tedious, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the mutilation. For we are the circumcision who worship God in the Spirit, rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh, though I also might have confidence in the flesh. If anyone else thinks he may have confidence in the flesh, I more so. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, concerning the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, concerning the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know him, and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on, that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind, and if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. Nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us be of the same mind. Brethren, join in following my example and note those who so walk, as you have us for a pattern. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who set their mind on earthly things. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly mind, that it may be conformed to his glorious body, according to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things to him. Now I want to come back to verse 12 here. It says, not that I have already attained or am perfected, but I press on. And I want to point out, he uses that twice in this chapter, verse 12 and 14. He's saying, I press on, that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Verse 14, I press. I'm going to read 13 as well. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Now, that word in there, press, what comes to your mind when you think of that? Does that give you a visual of someone who's just sitting back and, hey, whatever happens, happens? You know, is that what it sounds like? They're pressing in. It's not a time of sitting back and resting. It's not a time of just sitting and see what's going to happen. It's a time to press in. He says, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. I press towards it. I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. This, I think, is something that takes intentionality. You're not going to press on if you don't have a vision. If you don't have anything to press on towards, how can you press in? If you don't know what you're pressing in towards, how are you going to press in? If you're not passionate about anything, how are you going to press in? Some of you are passionate about a lot of things. Football season is here, and you guys are passionate about it. Some of you guys, I don't know. I know there's people out there that are. I don't mind a good football game, but I'm not that passionate about it. There's people that will put their team's emblems on everything. Like, they'll buy their gear, they'll buy their blankets, they'll paint their logo on their trucks and stickers all over the place. It's not even their team. They're not getting any monetary gain or anything. They're passionate about it. Let's get passionate about something real. Press on. So you gotta have vision. You gotta have purpose if you're gonna press into anything. Some of you are passionate about business, and that's awesome. You're pressing in towards that. You have goals you want to accomplish. You want to grow a certain amount. You want to have a certain amount of income. That's awesome. Go for it. But you gotta have a vision to press in. If you have no vision, what are you gonna do? I love Paul. So passionate. It's better to construct the future than varnish the past. I thought of you, John. That's great for furniture, and it's great for floors, but it's not great for your life. It's not. Some people, instead of pressing on the new stuff, they just want to keep varnishing the past, make it look a little shinier, put a new sheen on it. Just, you know, it's great. It's great for floors and furniture, but it's not good for your life. That's not something to press onto. That's just maintaining, okay? It's better to construct the future than to varnish the past. I'm just going to stop at that. Is that all right? But God bless you guys. And let's do things with intentionality, okay? Let's get some vision. And if you want some revelation, you know where to go. You got to press into God. And when you get that revelation, act on it. Doesn't matter how afraid you are. Most things are accomplished by men who are afraid, but they press on anyway. That's what courage is. That's what the definition of courage is. It's moving on in spite of fear. It's not the absence of fear. It's the spite of fear. You got to move forward. You got to make decisions that are courageous. So, God bless you.